Ladies and gentlemen, the first Cree podcast of 2020. Yes. Welcome to the Realty Growth Report. That's what we're going to call this thing.
I like that. Realty Growth Report.
Realty Growth Report, where we talk about all things commercial real estate related. That's our camera right there, Tanner. Business related, new investment related, fun related podcast. Our main focus is going to be Rochester and commercial real estate in whole as a whole. And we're excited to kick this off in 2020.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. Tanner, for those that don't know you, go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name's Tanner, originally from farther north, if you can believe it, St. Cloud, and moved to Rochester, started with the RGI team, and started my Cree career.
When you say Cree, what does that mean?
Commercial real estate.
Big thing is like the hashtag on...
Hashtag Cree.
Yes. What interested you in real estate, Tanner?
Real estate... I just think there's just so many opportunities in real estate from personal investment standpoint and also from just a career standpoint. There's just so many different ways to come at it, and I'm creative and I can, you know, see the squirrel and run sometimes. So it was a great way for me to get good at something and grow deep skills in something, but that has enough variety to keep me interested. And it was just a perfect mix for me.
Nice. I am Bucky Beeman. I am a commercial real estate agent as well over at Realty Growth. And ourself, Tanner and I work for a team of, I think we're up to like six, maybe going on seven here pretty soon. Mm-hmm. And we do commercial real estate sales, leasing, seems like a lot of business advising.
Yeah, I was going to say advising.
Yeah, a lot of advising in our business, which is fun. You just really get to know business owners. And our specialty is the Rochester market in southeast Minnesota. So we do business down in Wabasha and Red Wing and Winona. We got one listed in Minneapolis. We'll see where that takes us. And yeah, so let's just start right off with, what is your current state of the market? How would you explain the market? And, you know, recognizing that you're newer to the market as well. So what's your
right?
What's your
so feeling? My greenhorn interpretation of the market right now was a mild slowdown just because of the holidays and everything like that. But I'm seeing more leads come in, you know, daily now. I think yesterday we had three decent ones come in.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, especially small business owners like us, you know, you hit the new year and you've got these goals and things you want to do. And if you were planning on a new space last year, towards the end of the year, it's like, now it's time to, you know, get boots on the ground. So I've been seeing a right. little bit of that.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think that I haven't even shared this with you yet, Tanner, but I got news last night that in the space we're at right now, it's a co-working space downtown. Mm-hmm. Someone is signing a new lease starting probably yes. February 1st.
Nice. Who yeah. Can you say who we have coming?
Yes, I can. Okay. So Josh and Jacob Langmaid are officially going to take two of the offices up here.
Okay.
And they were, awesome. You know, they're teetering between another space on South Broadway that we were representing.
Yep, 1903.
Yep.
Some good space in there.
Yep. And yeah. And I think that's a sign of like, okay, 2020's here. And this is a small business that's just like wanting to continually grow and do their thing.
Yep. You know? Yep.
So, yeah, that's good news. My state of the market would be it is still tough, even as we start a new year, to find opportunities for buyers. There is more buyers than there are deals.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's a good thing for some of our listings because we're starting to get return showings, you know, people mm-hmm. coming around. You had done a showing yesterday, second time on a listing we have of four investment properties right next to each other. And it was their second time coming back around. So I think yep. that's good for our listings, but it is definitely difficult for our buyers. I had a buyer call me yesterday asking for opportunities, and I'm just like scratching my head going, ugh. Which just shows you need a good real estate agent to dig up deals.
Absolutely.
I did manage to come up with three ideas for him, and it was not easy, though.
Good, good. So I have a question for you that I'm just thinking about right now. So being new, what businesses do you see in the new year? Or I guess the better question is, how do taxes play a part in different size businesses, like when they want to buy stuff? Because their tax season's coming up. They got to do their taxes.
Right.
Do you see them doing stuff before the end of the tax year, or they're waiting till their taxes are done and then they start looking at stuff?
I think they do it after. You know, it's not like a truck per se where people are like, I gotta make this big investment of a truck to get that write off. Otherwise I lose it. Right. And so it's signing a lease, or buying a large building or a building in general. It doesn't matter the size. It's a major investment. And I don't think that it's, something people do usually before the end of the year, mm-hmm. from what I've seen, especially in small business world. Yeah, they wait, and then it's part of the strategy for the new year of saying, okay, how can we make the right steps to help our company grow?
I like it.
Yeah. Do you want to share, Tanner, about two listings that you have right now that people maybe don't know about that you're excited to just bring to the intrawebs as far as what are you marketing, what are you showing?
Well, marketing a few small single office spaces. So if you're a small business looking for your first space, I've got one in Kings Row and then one in the Lexington building. If you don't know where Kings Row is, it's kind of by the old Kmart. Behind there is a great little single office in there, shared entrance, really affordable, all inclusive. You can get more details by emailing me at tanner@rgigroup.com.
Link it up, Kevin.
RGI-group. Yeah, right below the link. The other one is, if you know where Northgate is, just east of Northgate, there's this Lexington building, another great little single office space in there.
Nice. So I've worked with a few companies to move into both of those buildings in the past, and it really is a great place for small businesses to start.
Oh, yeah. Great first step.
Yeah. Great. It has parking. Mm-hmm. You can tell people where you're at, and they can find you.
Yep.
And like you said, it's a all-inclusive lease, so you don't have these variables in our world where it's like, what's the triple net? What's the utilities being separated? Yep, it's like, what's the monthly number? And what is the monthly number on average? Or
so for those single ones, I'm seeing like 300 to 400, depending.
Yeah.
On, you know, the size are a little bit different in size and location and stuff, but 300 to 400 for a single office, all-inclusive. There's a little bit bigger one at the Lexington that has two offices that close and then kind of a shared larger room. I think, what was that one at, 5?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, 500 for that one.
Yeah.
So that was a bigger one.
The two listings that I would share about, we just recently signed, it was the Crossings at Carnegie is what the last business was. It's in Zumbrota, Minnesota, right off of Main Street, and it's an art gallery. It was a venue in the lower level. There's a clay studio that they still do classes, and the owner of the building owns that clay studio, and she would love to stay there. She'd love to lease back, and that can help someone make that monthly mortgage payment if they are looking at putting a business on the main floor. The idea is, I'm sure there's a lot of different ideas out there, but it's just a generally clean building. It's brick. It has that historic feel. It was built in, I believe, 1908,
cool.
And it was one of the original Carnegie libraries, which I didn't know much about until I was there, and she had a whole book of Carnegie libraries all over the country.
Wow.
And it was cool to see that part of the history of this building. And
that's super cool.
Yeah. And the second space we have, and this is one that I'm personally excited to see fill up into the new year, is on North Broadway at the intersection of Civic Center Drive and North Broadway. Hollenberry Panakuken is in this strip mall next to On Track Boutique and Guide Point Pharmacy, and we have about 4,000 square feet that could be divided. We could go smaller. And it's just in an area that I think needs some continued life. And we've seen this.
And it's a cool area too. Like we've, I said, continued it. Life, yeah. For sure. I think there's a lot of opportunities on North Broadway. And I just love that Panakuken space, how they redid everything. Because those are some older buildings too.
Yeah.
But how they've been redone. If you haven't been in there, man, check it out. It's cool.
And that area is just popping. It's like, it's got the Castle community. It's got Cameo, which is in the Castle in the lower level. Hollenberry, Panakuken. I'm drawing a blank right now. I apologize. On the restaurant that's directly across the street in the old Avalon Music. Le Petit Cafe.
Yep.
So that little quadrant right there, there's a lot of things going on. And there's this space that we just want to, one, fill up, but two, just help a business, you know, be a part of that story of what's happening.
I like that. That's a good story. Good spot. North Broadway.
The Machine Shed's right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. They're doing good things. They're expanding.
Yep.
Doing well.
I feel like Second Street has obviously been one that's up and coming. There's a lot of stuff going on there, but I feel like that's a little bit ahead of mm-hmm. North Broadway, mm-hmm. you know, as far as its development and popping. So,
mm-hmm. So that's our two spaces. Now let's move on to what is a business you're just excited to see doing its thing in the Rochester, Southeast Minnesota market. What ones are you?
Well, I just helped a young lady who's starting her business, Latina Lashes. So if you know where the Schmidt Music Store is and Merry Maids and Latina Lashes are going to be on the backside, the lower level there. She's just setting up there. So that's kind of a, maybe not one for me personally, but.
Yeah, but you helped.
I helped put her there, and I think it's a great, great young lady starting a new business there. So if that's a service you need, I would definitely check them out.
Need some extensions on your eyelashes?
Yes.
It seems like that sector of the business is booming. I think there's a couple eyelash studios now, and.
Well, there was that other one, too, that we put into Swoon. Is it Swoon?
Yeah, Swoon. Okay. Yep, and that's two young women that are from Rochester that are really growing that business. So it's a needed service.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked to two or three. Yeah. So it's
really good. Another business that I'm excited to see growing, let me just go through. There's so many of them. It's like, I don't know what one I want to bring up. I'm excited to watch Los Arcos, which is...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's the Mexican restaurant out by the airport where Ground Rounds used to be. Mm-hmm. And they are the family that started Rancho Loco, which is in Cannon Falls and Red Wing, and they wanted to build a location in Rochester. And so we helped them with that process and securing the building. And they're just a great family working hard, you know, building their business and trying to be a part of the Rochester community, which is a big step for them.
Yeah. So I've been there one time so far and loved it. So
burritos about the size of this table.
Oh yeah. Bring your sword.
Yeah, I'm like coordinating with a friend right now when we can go out there for lunch. I was just about to send him a text, so I can't wait to get back out there. Realty Growth Report, man, we're doing good so far. So our goal is to go for 20 minutes. We're at 12 minutes. Oh, you got a whole another 10 minutes to fill. What the heck are you going to talk about?
I'm trying to think of other businesses that have come to town and put in.
Dylan on our team helped out with Taco Jed in this last year.
That's a great success.
Yeah, they've been doing really well. And I love that location as well, mm-hmm. You know, over on South Broadway. And I just didn't see it whatsoever as far as that space was a Payday America. So you'd go in and get loans, and it felt like
an office space.
No,
I
no. And I think that's the cool thing about commercial real estate is like just being able to see how people create a space into something that is needed in our community and the vision they had and what they're able to pull off.
Yep. Yep.
It's fun to watch how people convert space. And
let's see. Yeah, I totally agree. I think, you know, the commercial, just changing what was on the corner there, I feel like changed the whole feel of that strip mall, mm-hmm. You know, that whole area, mm-hmm. You know, which is a cool spot too.
So I know what direction we need to head. Let's talk about, you know, investing in property. What things are you learning through being new to the commercial real estate industry as far as on the investment side? What's surprising you? What are you learning? What are you seeing? What's your thoughts? If you know, like yourself, I know we were just brainstorming this, you're considering taking your home and renting it out and going into a fixer-upper.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'd always been kicking it around, but on the show, when I was showing those four investment properties in a row, I got to talk to that investor a little bit, younger guy, and that's exactly what he did. So it got me, you know, fired up about it because it can be a little scary, like renting out your home, you know, but that strategy of, you know, living in your rental is just, I just think it's such a cool strategy because you can take advantage of the financing of the live-in, you know, living in the property and get a little lower barrier to entry financing.
Such as lower down payment.
Yeah, lower down payments. So you can get in for, you know, three, you know, depending on your lender. We got into ours that needed a little work for like 3% down, did the renovations, then had it reappraised. Mm-hmm. So we actually did a refinance, but you could reappraise. And then that way you can get all or most of the PMI taken off.
What does PMI stand for?
Private mortgage insurance. That's what you have to pay if you do a smaller, less than a 20% down payment. I'm not a lender. But, mm-hmm. But yeah, if you less than 20%, you got to make that extra payment. So kind of a way around that. Buy something that needs some work, fix it up, get it reappraised. Mm. Or in our case, the rates dropped so much a year after we had bought the home that we refinanced. Mm. So got a lower payment. So to move to the next house, we got to get the timing has to be a little special, you know? So you want to start looking for your next deal. And then as you kind of identify something and, you know, you start to get into escrow with that, you got to start immediately putting your home up for lease because you want to have that signed lease to bring into your lender to say, yep, I've got income coming in on that, so you can qualify for the second mortgage if you don't have deep enough pockets to qualify for both. Mm-hmm. So, which me being new in my career, I don't. So mm-hmm. got to get that signed lease before I can get the second property.
I'm sure you can. Can you make that lease contingent on being able to get the financing?
I'm sure.
I mean, it's...
I mean, maybe.
Talk to an attorney, but...
Yeah, no, none of this is legal advice. This is just, you know, hearsay.
But the idea would be, okay, so someone wants to rent your house. You would say, I'm open to renting it for you. We agree on prices, all that stuff.
You'd probably have to find a renter that would be a little flexible with you. That'd probably be the easiest way to do it. Just find someone who's a little bit flexible. You can time it out and identify the thing you want probably first.
Yeah, and also talk to your lender early on in the process.
Yeah, let them know what you're doing. Find a lender that's A, done that before, and B, is comfortable with that. And
That's smart. So for you, what excites you about, you know, this owning a rental property and fixing up another one? Like,
well, I see all you guys doing it and just crushing it, but
in what way do you mean crushing it? What, you know, what is it like?
Well, I just feel like in our profession, and I think a lot of professions, there's no retirement packages, you know, for a lot of sales jobs, and a lot of the, you know, retirement plans and different plans they had in the past decades ago, they don't have anymore. So I just feel like real estate is a great way to retire on owning, you know, well, rentals. Mm-hmm. I just love rentals. Love owning stuff. Flipping stuff's good too, but again, that's sales. Mm-hmm. But if you hold on to it, you know, that's something that's going to A, go up in value.
Hopefully.
Right? Traditionally will go up in value, but it also produces income. Mm-hmm. That's why I think, and I love single family personally, although I do commercial. I like the commercial stuff. What attracts me to single family rentals personally, this is just my investment strategy, is if you're going to buy a fixer upper or something a little distressed, you're not competing with the average home buyer. The average home buyer wants to buy something turnkey and move in, or something that has just needs very minimal, you know, work. It's the flippers that want to buy the really distressed properties. But if you live in it or in your transition, you can get it turned around in a couple weeks. If it is just carpet, paint, and, you know, that sort of thing, you can get some pretty good deals.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's kind of what I did. My first property, I rented out bedrooms, and I bought it on a contract for deed, which is great because it allows more... as far as financing is concerned, a lower down payment for most people. That's how we did it. And I didn't have to go through credit check and background check and any of that stuff because it's seller financing. The seller, you know, was basically the bank in that example. Rented out bedrooms, got to the point where I was ready to rent the whole house to move on to the next place where I went to. Yeah. And so it's a very possible thing for those looking to get into real estate.
Yeah, and I would say that's a whole nother thing if you don't want to use the bank financing. If you can get those, you know,
Seller financing.
Yeah. It's a lot easier to pick up properties that way, but can't always do it that way. I was kind of describing how to do it through a lender, but you can do it both ways.
Yeah. And the contract for deed, you can ask a lender about it. I'm sure they'll teach you. Look online. There's a lot of contract for deeds, things like that. It just allows you to get into properties without having to go through a bank. But I think the key is to one, make sure you're getting a good deal, and then two, also make sure that the bank, which becomes the seller, you're going to have a good relationship with as well.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, my seller financing deals that I've done. It's not like I hang out with them or anything like that, but we have this sense of trust between one another. Mm-hmm. Am I going to make the payment, and do they trust that I'm going to make the payment to them? So,
yep. And I would say, so the original question is like, what have I learned being around? I think just being around people that are doing it makes it more comfortable to do. Mm-hmm. You know, being able, and that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be in the industry to be that comfortable. Have a friend who's a realtor that owns rentals, you know, talk to people, you know, you want to have experts that are A, looking for you if you're looking to buy stuff, because we can find stuff off market too, but also like have the experience, you know. So I feel comfortable getting into it, maybe not because I'm in the industry exactly, but probably more so because like, oh, I know you and other guys at the office that own the stuff, and I can ask them, which anybody could do if they knew you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or me.
And I definitely advise to like go and look at properties. Like even people that are a little bit interested, it's like just start looking at properties, like all the way from online to actually going to an open house, to just get in them. So it helps you understand when a deal is a deal, more you look at.
And buying my first house too helped, right? Because I started getting into real estate before I owned any property. And now that I've just even purchased a property for myself that I can make into a rental, and I made sure of that, you know, I bought an area that doesn't have an HOA. Homeowner association, because some HOAs have restrictions on rentals and things like that. For this first one, I didn't. But just pulling the trigger on that first one, going through the process of owning property, just you got to buy your first deal.
Yes.
Yeah. Even if it's your personal residence.
We made it the 20-minute mark. Realty Growth Report, episode one, version one of 1 million to come.
Yes.
That was fun. Do you want to do the applause and then the outro music?
Oh, I got it, man. Applause. Woo! Outro.
Thank you for watching, and we'll see you next week at the Realty Growth Report podcast. Later.